Welcome back, everyone. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. Thank you for joining us in worship. What a beautiful day it is. Naturally, February the 14th, it is Valentine's Day, so Jesus wants you to be his Valentine. We are addressing the element of just love, and we want to just highlight with a special message, and I know this will be enriching to you. I've been believing for it. Matter of fact, heard a story about a couple. They were in a church fellowship, and they were married over 60 years. And somebody asked them, what's the secret to their success? And the man said, well, I've always treated my wife with respect. We've often traveled places around the world. He said, matter of fact, for our 25th wedding anniversary, I took her to Beijing, China. Oh, and everybody just politely applauded. Oh. And somebody said, well, where did you take her for your 50th anniversary? And I said, I went back to pick her up. There you go. Well, we're going to take a look here. Today's message is entitled Rekindling Romance. Rekindling Romance. Are you aware that God is romantic? He is very concerned that you and I enjoy just a wonderful environment of romance because he wants especially our relationships in marriage to have that fire. And if somehow you have maybe had your marriage go flat, it's lost its pizzazz. I just want you to know God is into romance. He is. He wrote an entire book in the Bible about romance. It's entitled The Song of Solomon. So let's begin and let's ask the Lord once again, who is love? The Bible says that God is love. So, Father, we want to thank you. Love is of God, and we know this, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So, Lord, we just need to see some things about you and ourselves, and in correlation, bring back, Lord, once again, romance to our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an epidemic today, and we're not talking pandemic, we're talking an epidemic. And that is that marriages are failing after 20 years. We're not sure what is happening, but somehow people are not engaged and applying themselves as they once did. So we want to talk about romance, and please don't cut me off. Even if you're single, even if you're looking forward to eventually in the future getting married, I'm confident that what you'll hear today will benefit you, and more importantly, benefit that person that you'll enter into covenant with. So stay tuned, stay with me. If we're going to be talking romance, where else would we want to talk about it except in the Church of Jesus? We don't want our students to go talking, learning things in the locker room. We want to hear about it right here at church. Had an article, Dear Abby, it says, do all marriages have to go stale after 25 years? Ours has. My husband and I don't seem to have much to talk about anymore. We used to talk about our children, but now they're gone. We don't have anything in common. I've noted these complaints to my husband, but the old excitement is gone. We watch a lot of TV, we read, we have some friends over, but when we're alone together, it's pretty dull. We even sleep in different rooms now. Is there any way to capture that old magic? Signed, The Song Has Ended. Oh my. It's like, wow, you read something like that. Maybe that's one person's experience in their marriage. I think it's something we need to take a look at. How can we rekindle the romance in our life? There was a poll that was put out, and marriage therapists, marriage counselors, the number one question that was asked to these therapists is, how is it that we don't love ourselves the way we used to? Number one question. I think that's interesting. So I'm glad you're here. If you're finding that things are a little bit less than happy, excited, maybe you've lost the pizzazz again in your marriage, I'm glad you're here. Let's hang in there. What do you do when your marriage has gone flat? Well, I have a scripture. You can see it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It's Jesus talking to the church. You know, the church is described in the Bible as the bride of Christ. So we're going to take a look at this. What did Jesus say to his bride that we could apply to our marriage, to our spouse? Well, to ourselves. Let's take a look here, and it says, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works." Take a look at that. "Or else, I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So we take a look here. What Jesus is telling his bride, can we apply that to marriages? Because you know the closest thing that we have on earth that symbolizes, that represents the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the closest we have is the union of a man and wife in marriage. The two becoming one, Genesis 2 says. Let's take a look. There's another reference here I want to share. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, because Jesus states that similarity. Here it is. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So let's take a look, because this is important. In other words, we can apply what Jesus said to the church, his bride, we can apply it to our marriages. The same thing, if we find that our marriages have gone flat, if things are not as exciting, in other words, the romance is not really happening. How do we rekindle that romance? Let's take a look. Three words I want to highlight from Revelation chapter 2. If you're with me here, number one, remember. That's the word we want to take a look at. Remember. See the height from which you have fallen. Verse 5. Remember. We forget, do we not? We remember how good we had it. The height. Remember how things were when it was things were just really moving along. Remember the height that you once were at, because we forget. We forget where we were at, and we wonder, is this all there is? So that's important. Recall what you did is important. That's where we're going, what you did in the first place. Number two, repent and change your attitude toward your spouse. Can you see that there on your screen? Repent and change your attitude toward your spouse. Recognize you're basically, the word repent, that you're going the wrong way. Repent. And I say the attitude toward your spouse because we want to recognize we, as Jesus said, maybe we've just left our first love. We're not interested in engaging that wonderful spouse of ours anymore. We've left her. Repent and go back and start doing what you first did. Now, that word repent literally means if I were to say, or actually do, step on your feet, and I say, oh, I am sorry I stepped on your foot. And then I proceed to go and step on your foot again. I haven't really repented. I may be somewhat sorry, but there's no change of action. See, repentance literally means I'm denouncing what I'm currently doing. I'm getting back on track to what I know is right. So sometimes I've had to say, Lord, please forgive me. Because now somehow I'm married to my job. I'm married to my career. I'm married to money. I'm married to things like maybe personal wants. And I'm really leaving behind my spouse. You've left your first love. So we can just imagine here that sometimes people might be listening right now. You're with me right now. And you say, well, you know, rekindling romance, that's just not in me. I just can't really get all that touchy stuff going on. Listen, you can. That's part of repentance. If you haven't been romantic lately, man, that's a spirit, that's an attitude saying, I'm just not going to do this. You must. You must. You've left your first love. God says, I have this against you. What, God? What do you have against me? You've left your first love. Let's take a look at number three. Return. We have there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, it says, do the first works. Repent and do the first works. I'm using the word return. Two, return to what you used to do to fall in love in order to stay in love. Isn't that great? See, that's what Jesus is telling the church. Man, you've left me behind. turn it around and go back and do the first thing that got you on fire for me. It's the same thing with our marriages. Turn it around, return and go back and start doing the things that you did to fall in love. Go back and start doing those things to stay in love, to rekindle romance. Oh, I'm so excited for you. So excited for me. It's important that we take a look at these things, to act toward your mate in such a way, because sometimes we become complacent. Do you want to maintain a wonderful environment? It's important for us. Do what you need to do, especially when you first fell in love. Go back and start doing it again to stay in love. That's going to be important. So here we go. How many would just say simply, it's much easier to fall in love than it is to stay in love? Yeah, I think so. I think many people would say the same thing. It's so easy to fall in love. Some people, all right, man, I just fall in love with all these people and everybody. And it's like, oh boy, it's like the flu. Hello, watch out, be careful. But let's look at five biblical actions. Five biblical actions to rekindle romance. Make sure you write these things down. I want you to carefully consider these things, because the aim is this: you must do what you did to first fall in love in order to stay in love. That's it. Here they are, five actions, going to be important for us. There's two kinds of people I just want to remind, just in case you're one of those two. First kind of person is that, man, they're not going to do anything until they feel like it. They're not going to step in there and activate anything until they really are motivated some way. And then there's others that just say, man, I'm just going to do this because it's the right thing. There's nothing in me that wants to engage and do this, but because I know it's the right thing, I will do it. Well, I'm telling you, that's very important. You know that marriage really is a living, breathing organism. Anything that's alive grows. It grows, or it retracts. So it's going to be important. Mature people are going to know that it's going to be important for them to do what they need to do to really apply and work and to enjoy a very happy romantic marriage. It's important. So don't wait if you feel like doing something. We want to do what we're now going to talk about because we know it's the right thing. First of all, number one, attention. Give each other lots of attention. That's important. If Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Now, take a look for a moment. We're talking the word attention. The first sign that you started to fall in love with somebody is because they started giving you attention. Isn't that true? You notice somebody was watching you. Somebody admired something about you. They were paying attention to you. I remember the first time I started to recognize my wife in Bible college. It was amazing. I was looking across the 400 room and I noticed Ainsley. Here we were, about 100 students, large freshman class. And I had my arm on the desk just staring at her. And all of a sudden, she'd catch a glimpse of me staring at her, and it's like, oh. And I just kind of scrub my eyes and, you know, cross my brows because I was caught staring at her. Well, that's kind of how it is, that we just know maybe that person likes me. They seem to be staring at me. That's a little bit peculiar. That's how we started to fall in love. Isn't that true? We noticed somebody started to recognize us. That's how you started to fall in love. Now, the Bible is saying keep paying attention in order to stay in love, to have romance. What happens when we start to basically fall in love? I mean, and then we get married, and then it's a wonderful relationship. But what happens all of a sudden, we're finding, when people get married after some time and the spouse starts to say, oh, give attention, the other is looking up from the newspaper, what? What's up? What's wrong with you? Do I need to owe you money or something? It's like somehow it's a sin that you're paying attention to your spouse. It's amazing how that is. The first step to falling in love was that you were paying attention to that person. The first step to rekindle romance is start paying attention. It's important. Basically, you're saying, you have my undivided attention. Remember when you were first engaged in, or dating, you were just writing notes to each other. The hours you spent on the phone, again, what you were saying, you have my undivided attention. That's how you started to fall in love. That's what you need to do to stay in love, to rekindle romance. Have you ever noticed that all of a sudden as you get married, somebody wants that, your spouse wants them? Listen, get it yourself. What's wrong with that? When we first get anything new, isn't it amazing the attention or the attraction that that provides? Remember when you bought your first new car, huh? You were out there till midnight polishing that puppy, and you made the kids take a bath before they got into the back seat. But 1 month later, huh, what happens? Man, the children are eating donuts from the free time at Hope Chapel, crumbs all over the back seat. You say, oh, that's all right. Problem. Just call the dog and he'll lick up the crumbs. Things change, don't they? Man, that newness wears off of everything we buy, whether that's boats or houses or new dresses or toys. That's why we need to really pay attention to our marriages. Giving attention is so important. We lose attraction to one another. A wife comes along and says, honey, what happened to you? You were my Chris Hemsworth when we first got married. Now you remind me of Saddam Hussein. What? Are you kidding me? No way. When you and I got married, you were like Jolie, Angelina Jolie. Now all of a sudden like Rosie O'Donnell. It's like, whoa, come on. Ease up. Watch out. Be careful about that. You know, the University of Nebraska did a survey. The number one reason that would run a risk against really a romantic relationship is a busy schedule. Be careful. Carve out time so that you can pay attention to one another. That's even important in your relationship to Almighty God. Sometimes we're too busy to pause and have time quietly with the Lord. Well, that's it. Show attention. Number two, affirmation. Affirmation. Build each other up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 basically says edify one another. But it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. So affirmation, stop criticizing. Stop criticizing people's weaknesses. Everyone wants to be appreciated. Everybody wants to be affirmed. Matter of fact, that's how you started to fall in love with your spouse. They recognized you did something well, the way you worked at something, the way you handled yourself at a project, the way you carried yourself, where you protected and just handled your own exterior. That was something that they marveled and looked at and appreciated. So that's why you may want to write down Romans chapter 12, verse 10, because it literally says, take delight in honoring each other. Take delight. Sometimes we have to force each other to really get in there, to be kind and speak affirmation over each other. Pump ourselves up. Okay, all right, okay, I'll do it. Honey, you're great. Well, we could do better than that, couldn't we? It's because verbalizing it. You say, well, they know I appreciate them. I think, you know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still bringing home the bread. Come on. Verbalize it. Words, power in words are so significant, so powerful. Radio station, they did a 10 terms of endearment. And here's the 10 terms of endearment they said were very important for marriages and relationships. Number one on their radio station list was the word honey. Number two, baby. Number three, sweetheart. Number four, dear. Number five, darling. Number six, sugar. Number seven, lover. Number eight, pumpkin. It's kind of going south from here. You go on number 9, angel pie. 10, precious. My all-time favorite, 11, love puppy. And 12, wild thing. Anyway, there you have it. It's important we take a look, affirm each other. So significant. The power in words are very appealing. You affirmed each other to fall in love. Go back and affirm each other to stay in love. A story where a woman was so fed up and angry at her husband. She had had it. And visiting a divorce lawyer, she said, "I really want to get back at my husband. And can you help me not just to serve divorce papers, but how we can really knife it to him?" And he said, "Well, this is what we'll do. 1 month, ma'am, you go ahead and be as nice and as loving and as caring as you can to your husband. Anything he's wanting, make sure you provide that. Anything he is interested in, you consider that and also perform that. And then at the right time, the end of the month, we will serve him papers. Man, it'll shock him." Well, when that time came to serve papers, she said, "Hold off, hold off. I love my husband again. We have fallen in love." Isn't that amazing? That is so easy to do it. So number 1, attention. Number 2, affection. Number 3, affections. So let's take a look at that. A marriage here, when we take a look, marriages need the physical touch in large amounts. So once again, is attention. Number 2 is affirmation. And number 3 is affection. If you look here, I like Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." So isn't it interesting that the Bible says in Colossians 3, it's a command, "Husbands, love your wives." Now, let's not wait till you want to do that or feel like doing that or you're wanting something back in return, but love your wives. So it's important because I like where it comes in the Amplified Bible. It uses this in Colossians 3:19. "Husbands, be affectionate." Well, that's our term. Be affectionate. We can say love your wives, but show expression of affection. Can you imagine if you see a couple in the mall and they're holding hands, what do you assume? Married or dating? Yeah. Most people say, "That must be dating." All of a sudden we get married. It's like, "Oh, no, no touchy. No touchy. We don't do that anymore." People might think we're just old fuddy-duddies. No. Come on. What's wrong with that picture? We need to make sure all marriages need large doses of touching and petting and hugging and kissing. And it's getting hot in here. How about you? I'm feeling a little bit warm. You know, it's interesting, Leland Wyken, in his book, Leland Wyken writes this, "The worldly saints, the Puritans, as they really are." Did you know, he says, that the Puritans actually thought that withholding affection, holding back intimacy from your spouse, was a major sin. He writes, and you would think that the Puritans were very unaffectionate, that they were really stale. But no way. He said actually to withhold affection or even sex in marriage was actually a very severe breach because they held it in high esteem. So Ryken says when a New England Puritan wife complained to her pastor, says that they proceeded to excommunicate the husband out of the church. They kicked him out of the church for not being affectionate to his wife. Man, can you imagine that? They've done studies that babies, it's called really touch deprivation, that babies literally shrivel up if they do not receive human touch and care. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? So we say that skin deprivation or touch deprivation. UCLA did a study that said that, well, ladies, did you know that if you give your husbands 3 hugs a day, that it would extend their life by 3 years. Yeah, yeah. Look them over. Check it out. Can you imagine? Yeah. So some of you might be saying, "I'm sorry, honey, you're going to die." Well, why don't you go back? Let's hug. Matter of fact, I give you permission to hug somebody in the room. How about that? Just, it's a beautiful thing to embrace and to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, you can write that down. It says, love each other as your own body. I like Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. Go ahead and write that down. But in Genesis chapter 26, verse 8, it says, Abimelech, the king, saw Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Now, that's an interesting phrase because the King James Version of the Bible says, saw him sporting his wife, sporting his wife. Now, I like that. The New American Standard says, caressing his wife. The Living Bible says, petting his wife. The king looks in and says, whoa, he's getting pretty downright affectionate there. I like the word sporting, don't you? It's the first sport mentioned in the Bible. Huh? And you could do that any time of the season, in winter or summer, indoors or outdoors, no special equipment necessary. That's important for us. Would you just write these words down? Appearance influences affection. Appearance influences affection. Did you ever notice how that the cute dogs get all the grooming, all the attention? It's amazing. Seems like after we get married, we really don't care how we look. That's got to be careful about that. We're talking about affection, and it's important that appearance influences affection. Men, when they get married, all of a sudden they get the Dunlop's disease. That's where the belly Dunlops over the belt buckle. Remember when we used to start dating guys, our spouse? Remember that? We used to comb our hair. We used to wash under our armpits. Man, we smelled good. And what happens? All of a sudden, we just kind of only do that when we go outdoors. I've seen some with like, are you kidding me? You're still wearing those stretchy pants? Come on. Why don't you change? Oh, no. Get rid of those things. I can't. Why? They're so comfortable. Well, listen, they look terrible. Remember, appearance influences affection. I've been asked, people will come up and say, well, hey, you're a Pentecostal preacher, aren't you, Paul? What do you think about women wearing makeup? My answer, if the house needs painting, baby, paint it. I'm telling you, it's important for us to consider because appearance influences affection. Write that down. Remember that. And then number four, let's consider the word then adventure. Be a fun couple. Be a fun couple, not a bore. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. Live joyfully with your spouse all the days. Are you adventurous? Or let's just put it this way, are you a charismatic person or are you a couch potato? Are you pretty consistent in what you do? When's the last time you just did something adventurous? Just say, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's just go and hold hands on the shoreline of Huntington Beach. Let's make a drive out there. Matter of fact, whatever it takes, doing something different, something fun. It's worth noting that Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, you can write it down, but the Phillips translation says that Jesus came enjoying life and the Pharisees got mad at him. Now, why do I bring... Man, Jesus was into really enjoying the crowds and partying and having fun, kind of like the wedding at Cana of Galilee. That Jesus came wanting to have a good time, and others got mad at him. He was just looking like he was having too much fun. Is your life predictable? That's important. Be careful about that. Man, I would just say, go and do something radically enjoyable and enriching. So we take a look. I just want you to know, are you fun to live with? Just consider that. How? What way could you just make things a little more fun and adventurous? Well, number five, agreement. Agreement. Spiritual unity promotes romance. It's so important to consider this one with me. I like Amos 3:3. He talks about the threefold cord, but it's how can two walk together unless they agree? That's important, but spiritual unity really promotes romance. It's very attractive. Let me explain this, because if you could just even capture this, I guarantee you will be drawn to your spouse like never before. You know that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that we are three distinct parts to our being: body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And all three need to be engaged with your spouse. Naturally, your body would be that romantic element. That needs to happen. That's important. Those things need to come together. It's the beauty of marriage. Hebrews talks about that. The element, the privilege of being married, that comes in the element of romance, physical, bodily unity, so significant. But also, we're spiritual beings, and praying together is important. And not just always praying over your meal. If you're not doing that, please consider, but pray with your spouse. Boy, that's very attractive. Pray over the needs, pray over future events, pray over your plans, pray over your future, your ideas. Honey, let's pray together. Hold hands. In the name of Jesus, we come, Lord, asking you for favor in these next steps, in these next seasons. Boy, that brings a person together. Then the other thing, we're a soul, body, soul, and spirit. The soul really is your emotion. That's where you come together and you unite in talking, communicating, just making sure you understand each other and want to listen. It's very involved and enjoyable to be able to hear one another. It feeds your tanks up, body, soul, and spirit, to be able to engage like that. Well, I want to encourage you. These areas, if you were to consider once again the significance of visiting what you once did to fall in love, go back and do it again. Remember, Jesus says, you've left your first love, but turn it around, repent, and do the first works. What you did to fall in love, go back and do it again to stay in love. I love how Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, just a reminder, therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Treat each other with respect. You are treating yourself the way you would want to be treated. That's just a great indicator. I want to thank you for listening to this message today. I am believing that if you would take the time, even research and see where you could apply these simple biblical principles, you're going to see amazing breakthrough and wonderful, wonderful romance. Once again, rekindling the romance in your relationship, in your marriage. So I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to believe for some of those unique things that will take place. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you. We started off saying that love is of God. God is love. And anyone who loves is not only born of God, but knows God. And Lord, if there have been things that have caused a crushing of that love and the appreciation and value of another human in our lives that we know we really do want to love and to nurture the way you, Lord, love and nurture us, Lord, do a work right now and bring a healing, a release through the forgiveness that's found in Jesus. As we issue forgiveness to others, the way we've been forgiven by you, Almighty God, let there be a wonderful, wonderful motivation now come upon our marriages. And that, Lord, we will engage one another and see the love of God not only birthed new in our hearts, but the love that we have for others, especially our spouse, be strengthened, renewed, enriched, and our marriage saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I know that many of you are part of Hope Chapel. This is, by the way, it's Mission Sunday, and if you would just stay online, I'm going to come back and share with you how you can contribute to not only Hope Chapel's ministry and mission to reach others with the good news we've been sharing, but especially our missionaries as well. Our missionaries, we continue to really support 13 missionary units, and we pray you'll be a part of that. God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you next week. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.